Hello.
Hi. Okay. Thanks. All right, I'm Carrie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Carrie.
My clean date is August 31st of 2019. I always love coming to retreats, like, a week before I, like, celebrate, because I'm like, man, like, in a week I'll have, like, more clean time than I have now. And that's just, like, my ego. You know, but it is an honor and a privilege to be able to speak at any Narcotics Anonymous venue. Can we say the Serenity Prayer real quick? I'm, like, real nervous. So can we just do that? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, that's better. It's an honor to be asked to speak at anything. You know, we were just talking about this before. I never want to forget that, like, it's an honor and a privilege to be here because, like, I said literally just, like, an hour ago, like, I wasn't asked to, like, share my opinion, like, anywhere for a really long time. Like, what I said had very little value to very no one. So to be asked to, like, share something with you guys, like, someone somewhere saw something in me that they were like, she has something to say that, like, could help someone. Like, that's amazing, because, like, I didn't have anything to say that would help anyone for so long. You know, like, what I said to people was hurtful and mean and, like, not productive. And, like, just knowing that and, like, knowing who I am now, like, just, like, seeing that change and, like, knowing that, like, I want to help someone. You know, and the topic, carrying the message, you know, I don't want to get, like, caught up in, like, I heard that at, like, another, you know, like, don't let the topic, like, whatever. But, you know, I think about, like, what is the message, you know? And, like, our literature is, like, very clear of, like, what our message is. You know, it says the message is hope and the promise is freedom. And our message is that an addict, any addict, and I like that part, any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And I always, like, you know, like, there are, like, pieces in our literature that it's, like, any addict, like, that's an absolute word. Anyone. Like, it's not some of you, a few of you, anyone. Like, that, and, like, those are things that, like, in our literature, like, are so profound to me because it's, like, there's no discrimination between, like, who gets this and who doesn't. You know, but I was thinking about, I remember this was, like, some years ago, like, the last time I was clean. And I remember being in a meeting and, you know, I had, like, maybe a year clean. And there was this woman that came to my home group and, like, she had, like, a significant amount of time clean. And I remember I was bitching to her about, like, my life wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. You know, I was like, I am clean and, like, I deserve, I'm entitled to this and this and this and this. And I remember her saying to me, our program doesn't promise that. Our program promises freedom from active addiction, and you have that. And I remember her saying that to me, and I was like, fuck you. Like, one, like, I got clean, and, like, I deserve to have nice things and my life to be really easy and, like, everything to be sunshine and butterflies and rainbows. And I remember that, and, like, that's, like, stuck with me because really what she was saying to me is, like, you have freedom from active addiction, and, like, everything else, like, good or bad, you can maintain that. Like, you can continue to have that gift if you do the things here, and it doesn't matter if things are good or bad. Like, you can continue to have that. You know, but I think about, like, the message that I've, like, delivered here, like, over the years and, like, how it's changed. You know, because, like, when I first got clean, like, I did not have, like, a message of recovery. Like, that was not the message I had. I had a message of, like, hate, spite, anger, you know. But I think about, like, the messages that I received, you know, because it says, like, carrying the message. But I think it's also, like, for me a lot about, like, receiving the message. Because it's, like, I'm unable to, like, carry a message if I can't receive a message. you know, and like, I was fortunate, like, many, many years ago, like, I received a message of recovery, and like, I didn't keep the recovery I had, but like, I chased it, you know, like, I continue to like, want to have this, because like, I heard something that someone said, and I was like, maybe I could have that too. You know, and like, I think about like, being open to hearing the message. Like, again, we were talking, this is like why I love like coming to these things, because it's like I talk about like all these things with people. Like, I love talking about recovery. You know, like, for a lot of years, like, I was unwilling to like hear a message of recovery. Like, I just wasn't open to it. And like, there are still some days where like, I'm not open to it. Like, I'm not open to a message of recovery. I don't want recovery. I don't want a solution. I want the problem. You know, but I, when I come to these rooms, like, I try to convey to people, you know, like, in a meeting, my sponsees, my friends, that it's like, I never have to use again, despite anything that occurs. You know, and like, I think of this woman that told me, like, you're not entitled to like have all this shit that you want, but like, you can like have recovery. And I think about that, and it's like, I never want to come here and say like, my life's wonderful and like everything's great and like there's never any problems. Cause I was thinking about that, you know, of like, there were some times like when I first got clean where it's like, that's like the message I would hear is like, people were like, my life is so good and everything's so great and like there are never any problems and like it's wonderful. And then like my life was like not good and like not great and I had like a significant number of problems. And I was like, how am I supposed to stay clean? Like, my life's not fucking good. And I always want to be a person that it's like, I'm being honest with like how my life's going. Because, you know, with, like, almost 6 years clean, like, my life has not been, like, wonderful for, like, the entirety of 6 years. But I've made the decision, like, over and over, like, day in and day out to not use. You know, and I think about, like, how am I carrying a message, you know, just in terms of, like, because I can, it's really easy for me to, like, tell you. Like, I can tell you all these things of, like, oh, I do this, I go to meetings, I call my sponsor, I work steps, I'm of service, like, I do all these things. It's really easy to say it, but, like, do you see it? And, like, I think about, for me, like, I'm a good talker. Like, I'm really good at, like, selling things. That's what I do for work. I'm basically a salesperson. But, like, so I'm really good at that. But it's, like, is there any action behind my words? So, like, am I, like, carrying a message like in my day-to-day life? Like, am I practicing spiritual principles? Am I living by spiritual principles? Am I putting action behind those spiritual principles? You know, because like, I think about like when I go to my home group, like my home group is like a place where it's like, and I just switched home groups like, I don't know, 6 months ago, 4 months ago, I don't know. But like, I chose my home group because I felt that like the message of recovery was like so evident and so clear there. Cause like I would walk in and I was like, these people are like living the program. And like, for me, that's like what it comes down to. Cause it's like really easy for me to like talk about stuff and like write stuff down. But it's like, am I like living it? Am I walking it? And like, I chose my home group cause like, I see that, like I see that in the members there. Like, I come in and like, there's an old guy, Danny, that like hugs people at the door. Sometimes I don't want a hug from Danny, but like, he's always there to like give you a hug. There's usually another person there to give you a hug. And it's like to welcome the newcomer. Like, you know, are we welcoming the newcomer? Like, are we carrying the message to the addict who still suffers? And like, we don't know who the addict who still suffers is. So it's like, we give a hug to everyone. You know, we put out our hand to everyone because like, you don't know who that is. Maybe it's the newcomer. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the guy with like 40 years clean. Like, I don't know. So it's like, am I like offering that? Like, am I offering love and compassion to everyone that I encounter? No. No, the answer to that is no, I'm not, you know, like I'm not perfect. I try to be like at my home group, like the best example that I can be of like, this is what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me. Like, I'm kind and I'm generous and I'm compassionate. And it's like, but also like, do I do that outside of Narcotics Anonymous? Because it's actually, it's much, much easier for me to do it here than it is out there. you know? Like, you guys are my people, so I'm like, you guys are, like, super lovable people, because it's, like, you're me, and, like, I'm egotistical, so, like, I like me, so, like, you being me makes me like you even more. But, like, the people I encounter in the real world, like, am I treating them with love and patience and kindness, you know? And that's, because, like, I think about, like, I have been, like, in many scenarios where, like, I'm the only representation of NA that, like, someone gets. And, like, am I representing NA in, like, a positive light or a negative light? And I try to, like, walk through the world. And it's not that everyone in the world knows that I'm in NA. But it's, like, if someone found out I was in NA, would they be like, oh, this woman in NA treated me like shit? Or, like, did she treat me really well? You know, but I think about, like, with my sponsee, and, like, we've had, like, many conversations about, because, like, and I love it because she's, like, brand new to the fellowship. Like, she's never been in NA before, and I'm like, I love this. Like, she's a blank slate. Like, she doesn't have, because, like, I had a lot of, like, preconceived notions. Like, I had ideas and opinions, and, like, she doesn't have that. And, like, we've had, like, many conversations about, like, what NA can do for her. And, like, really, I'm just like, you never have to use again. I'm like, and that's it. That's it. That's what it'll give you, you know? And, like, she's me. So, like, she's like, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And I'm like, and maybe you can get it. I'm like, but also, there's no promise of that. Like, there's no guarantee that, like, you can have all these, like, worldly things. What you can have is, like, a day clean and, like, a reprieve from active addiction. Like, that's all that I can, like, guarantee if you, like, do these things. And, like, how you get those things is, like, by working the steps. Like, because that's, I was, like, reading the literature, you know, and it's, like, 12 step, like, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, we carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And, like, I used to, like, I had come in for, like, many, many, many years, and I never worked the steps. And I think about, like, I would get up to, like, podiums, like, people ask me to speak all, like, and I would be like, hell yeah, like, I got something to say, you know? Like, I have so many things to say. Like, I can talk about a lot of shit. But, like, I never worked steps. So I'm like, what am I saying to people? Like, I'm telling them, like, how I think you should get clean and, like, stay clean. But it's like, those are, like, Carrie's ideas. And, like, Carrie's ideas, like, had me using for, like, 15 years. But I'm like, but I'll tell this to other people because, like, they sound good. Like, they make sense. But it's like, what I found now is, like, the only way I can carry a message is if I have a message to carry. And, like, I didn't have one for a long time. It wasn't a message of recovery, I'll say that. I'm sure I had a message. It wasn't a message of recovery. And, like, I have a message of recovery now, and that's only through, like, working steps. Like, it's only through, like, understanding this program and, like, understanding the principles and, like, applying the principles that I've learned through working the steps. And, like, I just think about, like, how I, like, handle the world now. Like, how I, like, operate in my environment now with, like, spiritual principles. With, like, morals and values and, like, integrity and, like, honesty compared to, like, before. And, like, even, like, other times I was clean. Because, like, I didn't necessarily have these spiritual principles when I was clean other times. Because, like, I knew what they were. I could, like, define them. I could identify them. But, like, I didn't have any, like, practice or consistency because I wasn't working steps. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't, like, calling anyone. I was just, like, taking my own advice. And I was like, sounds good. You know, and now it's, like, I have these, like, consistent, like, actions where it's, like, I am a person of integrity. I am a person of honesty. Like, I show up and I do things and I say I'll be where I am. And, I, like, you know, against my will sometimes. Like, there's a lot of things that I agree to and I'm, like, I don't want to do it. I don't know why I agreed to this. You know, but, like, I show up anyway because I think about, like, you know, the ways that, like, messages have been carried to me. You know, because I think about, like, when I call someone, like, in desperation, like, they answer. You know, I think about, like, the calls that I've made from, like, treatment facilities to, like, members of Narcotics Anonymous, and, like, they answer. And I'm like, and, like, to me, that teaches me something. Like, that teaches me something in the moment of, like, when someone calls me at like some ungodly hour, I pick up the phone. You know, like when people show up for me, like when I'm like broken and like going through it, and people show up, they show up to my house, they show up wherever I am, they meet me at a meeting. That teaches me something. Like, it teaches me that like we show up for each other. And it also teaches me that like I don't ever do this alone. Like, there's a lot of times where I think that, you know, I'm an island. I'm existing, and like, it doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter if I have these relationships or if I have these connections. And like, those are always like consistent reminders of like, I'm never doing this alone. And like, sometimes I think I'm doing it alone. And like, my ego wants me to think I'm doing it alone. Like, my ego wants me to think that like, I'm doing these things and I'm making these decisions and like, I'm the one that's doing, like, I have the power. And like, the reality is like, doing all of these things like in conjunction with so many other people. Like, there's so many other people like at my side, like holding my hand, like, you know, doing all these things. And it's like, I'm really not doing anything, you know, like that's like the universe, God, whatever, like in action in my life. I don't know. I didn't want to go first. So I'm like, I was hoping that like the other person would go first and then I could like steal some of what they said. But you know, I think about like Narcotics Anonymous, and I think about, you know, I said this, and like I remind myself of this like pretty consistently of like, I owe a debt here. Like, I owe a debt to the universe, you know, and it's a debt that I can never repay. Like, I've been given something, you know, because like, I don't think that I'm like any more deserving of this than anyone else, but I've been given this, and I don't know why, I don't know for what reason, you know. It was really just like luck. Like, I survived. I survived long enough to get this. And like, for that, like, I can't repay the universe. I can't repay the people in my life enough for that. So like, how I do it, how I start to like chisel away, you know, and I think it'll take me like lifetimes to like ever repay it, is like, I show up here. I show up here when I don't want to, when it doesn't feel good, when all you guys piss me off, I continue to show up, you know, because it's like, I'm not the most important person here, but like, I need to be here. And I believe that like, I'm part of this thing. Like, I'm part of this thing, and like, the thing works without me, but I don't work without the thing, you know? So like, I keep showing up here because it's like, I am someone that like, I want everyone to have this, and I know that everyone won't get it, but I continue to show up here. So like, when the people come in, they see like, oh, you're still here. Cause like, I love that when I see someone, it's like, I haven't seen them in like couple years, and they're like, you're still here. I'm like, yeah, and this is where I'll be. This is where I'll continue to be. Like, if you ever need to find me, I'm at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know. And like, that's what I try to like show people, is like, this is where I'll stay, because like, the way that my life has changed, I could have never done it myself. I tried to over and over and over again, and I couldn't do it. Like, I came here, and like, really, you guys helped me. You guys showed me how to change. A lot of times you like try to show me how to change like 2 years ago, and like, I'd figure it out 2 years later, you know. But like, I can't ever repay that. So like, you know, acting in gratitude is like, I show up, I help others, I answer the phone when I don't want to, I pick people up when I don't want to, I go to my home group when I don't want to, I chair my home group when I don't want to, I never make the coffee. I'm not good at making the coffee. I don't know how. It's really hard. The percolators are confusing, you know. But like, I do all the things that I don't want to, because like, they're the things that keep me here. And eventually I want to do them, you know. But it's just like, I need to continue to have that, the gratitude, and I need to continue to act in the gratitude, because like, that's how I continue to stay clean. But again, it was an honor to speak here. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be clean. Thank you.
Our second speaker, Rich B, Eagle's Nest.
Woo!
And Ikeana? Is it Ikeana?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, I'm an addict. Oh. I ain't never wore a wire before, so. I'm an addict. My name is Richie. And I feel like real vulnerable up here. Like they usually give you a little podium and shit that you can hide behind. And when Carrie came up here and she said that she was nervous, I was like really nervous for her. I've been doing this for a little while. My clean date is February 6th of 2019. And, you know, I've had the honor and the privilege to share at a lot of places, do some H&I, and do a lot of different things for Narcotics Anonymous. And still to this day, every time I come up here, I get super nervous. And it's really important that I share that because I feel like if I wasn't up here nervous, I would probably be just sharing out of ego and shit. And I don't want to do that, man. I just want to tell the truth. I'm not a long-winded or like some dynamic speaker. I'm another addict who shot dope and wants to help somebody, man. Because I know how it felt when I got here. And I don't ever want to forget that feeling. I came here a long time ago. I told you my clean day. I get emotional. So don't mind if I start crying and shit, because I'm super sensitive. And I told you my clean date is February 6th of 2019, but I showed up at Narcotics Anonymous sometime in 2008. And I didn't know how to do anything when I got here. I didn't know how to clean. I didn't know how to pay bills. I didn't know how to be a friend. I didn't know how to be a son. I didn't know how to cook. Oh, I knew how to cook Chi-Chi's and crack, but that was it. And I knew how to go to jail and come home. I knew how to go to the penitentiary and come home and use again. I knew how to do all that. I knew how to live outside. I thought like I was this master fucking camper. I remember being in this halfway house in 2012, and I kept getting rolled up because you're supposed to fold your clothes and put them away, and I really didn't know how to fold my clothes, so I would lay them all flat on my bed frame, and then I'd put my mattress over them. And that worked for me, you know what I mean? But it didn't work for the guy who worked there. His name was Kevin. I couldn't stand him. I always thought that he was better then, but I've been clean a little while, and I probably realize now that I probably felt less than, but I never liked him. And the only thing he ever said to me that I remembered was, if you cut too many corners, you'll be standing on one. And that rang true in my life for a long time. And like Carrie was saying, it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to share anywhere, man. Like, I really need to thank everybody here doing service. It takes a lot of work to put on these things. And, I don't want to get caught up. I'm not a topic speaker, man. I come up here and I share whatever comes to my mind. I swear a lot. And listen, I clown a lot and I laugh a lot, and like sometimes I'm like a fucking joker on social media and shit, but when it comes to like staying clean and Narcotics Anonymous, like I believe in this thing right here. I believe in this thing. This thing has changed my life beyond anything. You know, I was talking to a lady the other day just about car insurance. And she asked me a simple question. She said, have you been in trouble in 10 years, you know? And I thought to myself, and I was able to say, no. I haven't been in trouble in fucking 10 years, man. And, like, that's a fucking miracle for a guy like me, man. And, you know, I told you, when I came here, I didn't know how to do anything, man. Like, I didn't know how to do anything. I remember a grown-ass man coming up to me trying to give me a hug, and I told him, get the fuck away from me, dude. Like, I wasn't here for that. I don't know why I was here. I was here for a reason, and I don't know what happened, but something just kept drawing me back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. No matter how far down I went, like, I always knew that I had to make it back here. And, like, I'm from Troy, New York, Well, I live in Pennsylvania now, out by Washington, PA, in this little bum-ass town called Davella. Mm-hmm. It's like all country. I came from the hood, and like I always loved the hood, man. Like I really did. Like you could walk out, you could walk down the street with $5, get something to eat, get a haircut. I mean, anything you wanted. Like it was like everything was available. You know what I mean? And now it's like, as my mind slowed down and shit, and my thinking slowed down and shit, like, I like being in the country. Like, these little bees and shit are a little bit annoying and stuff, but it's all right. Like, we woke up this morning. I woke up at 5, and I picked up some friends, and we went fishing for, like, 4 or 5 hours before we came here, and then we went to the men's wrap, and it's like, okay. And, you know, I remember I had a sponsor in New York. His name was Jeffrey. He was a real spiritual guy. Always loved me. Never gave up on me. And he did all the assessments for New York State Medicaid for some treatment facilities out here in Pennsylvania, you know. And I was at a treatment facility, and I was using in treatment, and like, I was a fucking mess. So like, I'd been shooting dope for fucking 25 years, and like, I didn't know how to stop. Every time I did stop, I failed. I didn't. Everyone I knew in Narcotics Anonymous, I destroyed them, and I destroyed every relationship I had in Narcotics Anonymous. I knew I had to make it back here, and I remember being in that treatment facility, and someone had mentioned a program to me, and then. Another person had mentioned this program, and like, I'm talking about God, and I remember sitting in my counselor's office, and she mentioned the same program, and she was like, "Where do you want to go?" And I was like, "If I go where I want to go, I'm gonna die," because I knew everybody out there my whole life. That's all I ever did was run the streets. That's all I had to do was walk down the street and tell Flacco I was messed up and he's gonna smash me with something. And there I was using again. I did it my whole life. And I took a risk, man. I took a risk, and I went to this program out here in PA, in Washington, Pennsylvania. And that was February 5th, and I got my first day clean the next day on the top bunk, man. And I'm so grateful for that program. I'm so grateful that I finally gave Narcotics Anonymous a chance. Like, listen, I came here for a long time. Not one of them guys who came in here and like started like applying some spiritual principles and like, oh, let me get a sponsor, let me do this, let me make coffee, let me do this, let me do that. Like, I was so standoffish. A lot of it was like, you know, like I was really misinformed when I got here, but a whole ton of it was like, I was really afraid for anybody to get to know like who I really was, you know. And I was afraid for people to get to know like my real story, like what really happened, how much of a fucking loser I really was, you know what I mean. But I stayed around here, and I'd been here around here long enough to know that like, there's a lot of people here just like me, man. There's a lot of people here who like ran their life right straight into the dirt, came to Narcotics Anonymous and like got a sponsor, got a home group, started applying some shit in their lives, and their lives changed. And for a long time, my biggest problem was like, I wouldn't apply spiritual principles. All I knew was street principles, and that's all I wanted to live on. Like, I wanted to come here, stay clean, be a scumbag, and not use again, and it didn't work for me. And I learned in that process that, like, street principles and spiritual principles do not mix, man. Like, I had to do something different. Like, I had to try to be a good person. And it was fucking uncomfortable, man. I didn't want to be. Listen, not only did I not want to be a good person, I didn't know how to be, and it affected me so much. It made me feel negative so much to do something nice for someone. Just to walk in the store and hold the door for someone and not let it slam in their face, like, made me feel like a punk, like I was a sucker. And you know, I got a sponsor, and I started doing some step work and shit. And what I realized, like, I was a sucker my whole life, man. Like, this is the slickest shit I ever did, was come here and stay clean, man. Like, I'm talking about, I was eating out of garbage cans. I lived on the street my whole life. If I was inside, it was because I was either in jail or I was in some program because it was fucking freezing cold out. You know what I mean? And I didn't have nothing. I remember when I went to treatment this time, I went to six detoxes and five treatment facilities in a row before I finally showed up at that program in Washington, PA, and got a day clean. And I struggled so fucking much with confrontation. I didn't understand when people really care about you, they try to fucking pull you up and like tell you about your behavior and they try to get you to be a better person. And I did not understand that, like, for so long. Like, if you tried to tell me something I was doing was wrong, I thought you were trying to manipulate me and to do something your way because you were, like, really trying to sum me on the low and shit. Like, I didn't know, I didn't really believe that anybody really cared about me. But you can't come to Narcotics Anonymous for years and years and years and have the same people standing up and giving you a hug through 1,000 white key tags and, like, not start to believe in love, man. Like, this thing's about love, man. I was loved so much, I gotta take a drink. I was in a halfway house in 2012 and they pulled all my teeth and they gave me false teeth, and for the longest time I would come to share places and I would glue my teeth because I was so afraid that someone would notice that I had false teeth. So if I'm up here sharing and my lips start moving faster than my teeth, pay attention to the message and not the mess. But this program has changed my life so much, and not only changed my life, like it's changed me. I remember sitting in meetings with 2-3 years clean, talking about, I don't care what other people think about me anymore. I don't do this, I don't do that. And like, I got a turn, and like the more I like dug down deeper and stuff, I started to understand, like, I really do care what other people think about me a lot, man. Like, I still have a lot of them deep-seated insecurities and fears, and like I hurt my shoulder at work this January. And I had a great relationship with my boss. I love my boss. He's the best boss I ever had. But like, I sat home for 2 months. Like, I had the ability to like start my own business, and I knew I did, but I sat home for like 2 months because I was so afraid of what he would think if I did that, like what he would think about me. And finally, like, I started like really, I still don't like to open up about shit. Like, I gotta really start being affected spiritually for me to start opening up about something. And I started opening up to my sponsor and some people in my network, and they're like, man, just do what you gotta do, you know what I mean? And like, I gave it a try, and like, I'm not doing great, but like, I'm not out there fucking killing myself every day, like raking concrete and fucking breaking down brick walls and shit, like, and I'm surviving, like, I'm okay, man, like, I'm home a little more. I got a family. My daughter just turned 3 years old yesterday. Dude, like, listen, I was not the type of person to, like, that wasn't me. This wasn't my story, man. But, like, God had a different plan for me, man. And I'm so grateful for that. And, like, you know, I think about my daughter sometimes. And, like, when she, like, comes up on my lap and says, Daddy, I lay with you and all that shit. Like, sometimes, like, I gotta turn my head because, like, I'm getting teared up and shit. And, it's just like the greatest feeling to be like a good person. Like, I don't cheat on my girl, and that's a fucking miracle, man. Like, I ain't never been faithful. I ain't never been committed. I ain't never been the type of person to like tell you I'm gonna be there and like 100% sure I'm gonna be there. Like, that wasn't me, man. And this program has done that for me, man. And like, so listen, I'm not gonna burn you guys out. I'm super grateful. And you know, like, if you're struggling, just, man, listen, just keep coming. I shared with you, like, I came here for a long time, and the only thing I did right was just keep coming, man. Like, just keep coming back no matter what. And like, I'm not one of the people that got the program. I just kept coming here long enough that eventually the program got me, and like, here I am, man. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.